Hi, folks. Some housekeeping before we start this podcast. This is a conversation I had yesterday with members of the committee of the Our Maternity Hospital. They are holding a rally next Saturday, the 14th of May, outside the Dáil at 2 p.m. Get along. Make sure we let the government know that it's not a done deal and that we are not happy for a publicly built and publicly paid for hospital to be privately owned. If I could ask you also, please consider joining us on patreon.com/tortoiseshack. That's where you'll get all these podcasts without these pleas. That's the price of a breakfast roll, and you get lots more additional content, including all of the podcasts that we produce on the Tortoise Shack in one consolidated feed. It's a couple of quid to you, but it actually keeps us going. It pays the bills and keeps the lights and mics on. All support greatly appreciated. Please go to patreon.com/tortoiseshack and see if there's a level there that you're willing to support. And if you can't, then tell people. Just share the word, because we've no ads or sponsors. We rely on word of mouth. If you are a member, I hope you checked out the conversations with Shannon Watch this week, with Alice Mary Higgins, with Lesia Vasilenko in Ukraine, and Wendy Lyon on what's happened with Wade versus Roe. All of those are there right now on patreon.com/tortoiseshack. I will stop now. Hope to see lots of you on May 14th. Talk to you soon. Enjoy the pod. Hello and welcome to the Echo Chamber podcast. My name is Tony Groves and I'm still on my own. The other fella, but in better news, he was sent home from oncology yesterday and he rang me and he actually felt a little bit like he got a reprieve. So he will be back on the air. He does need an operation, but fingers crossed for him. The light at the end of the tunnel is actually a light and not a train heading in down towards him at a rapid pace. Anyway, enough going on about sharing our domestic issues on in public. I'm delighted to be joined by three members of the Our Maternity Hospital campaign. And it's something that we've covered earlier in the week with Senator Alice Mary Higgins, but obviously it's gathered so much momentum and so much public outcry. Reminds me, only thing I can think of was the build up to the attempts to seal the mother and baby home report. And I might bring that up again in a while, actually. But I'm joined by Bernie Leland, Joanne Neary, and Karen Sugru. And Karen, it's good to see you again. You were also on the pod a few weeks ago in the safe access zones. But Bernie, if you don't mind, I'll come to you first. The Our Maternity Hospital campaign now has been, vocal in its opposition to this from the get-go. How do you feel now when the mood music I'm hearing from, and you've heard it too, is that they'll wait for people to calm down, and but the government are letting people know in political reporting that this deal is done?
How I feel is that the government's a little previous in its assumption or assertion that this deal is done. It's not done until it's signed. And it hasn't been signed. And the cabinet refused to sign off on the initial memorandum of agreement on it, which is only a fairly basic outline. No lease has been signed. No operating license has been signed. No legal document relating to this project has been signed, despite the fact that 51.2 million of taxpayers' funds has already been spent on the site at Elm Park, on a site that we don't own and may never own. And if this deal fell through tomorrow, we'd be 51.2 million out of pocket. But that doesn't seem to concern people too much. But that aside, this deal cannot be signed as it stands. It falls on many fronts. One of them is that we're not sufficiently convinced that the guarantees we've been given around ownership, governance, and control are sufficient, or that guarantees of such can ever be sufficient, to be honest, without public ownership of the new National Maternity Hospital. Those guarantees weren't sufficient to convince two members of the HSE board back in March. One of those is the patient advocate on the board, Dr. Sarah McLaughlin. The other is Professor Sarah Madden from UCC School of Law, who is a professor specializing in medical ethics and health law. Now, if she cannot be convinced by the legal documents she has seen, why should we?
She's a legal expert. And they were appointed by the Taoiseach to actually to make those, you know, to raise any concerns. And they've done that. And then and it just staggers me when you say that out loud. I want you to go in there and be the canary in the coal mine. Mm-hmm. Damn it, canary, what are you doing?
Well, that's it. I mean, the canary has had its beak taped up because any questions about Professor Madden's objections have been batted away in an almost misogynistic way. You know, this is a professor of law, a full professor of law. Why is her opinion not making national headlines? We're being told that the opinion of Professor Shane Higgins, who is a very fine obstetrician gynecologist, should carry more weight on this matter than a professor of law. I don't want professors of law delivering babies, and I don't want obstetricians and gynecologists writing legal contracts. We need complete transparency here, and we need experts to stay in their lane.
Joanne, if I could come to you, you've a long history of activism campaigning, particularly around women's rights, reproductive health care for pregnant people, and all of these services that are crucial in a national maternity hospital. And, you know, you keep saying the national maternity hospital, I think it was publicly funded and publicly built, but not publicly owned. This must be almost like a whiplash to seeing how, you know, because I saw last night Alison O'Connor saying, we're talking about the past, but we want to talk about the future. If we see what happened this week in Roe versus Wade, and we can see what can happen very quickly in the if things change, does your concerns, how do we address them, and what are you calling for?
Well, it's very interesting that you should speak about history and the future. And presently, I'm very tired because I couldn't sleep last night after watching. Alison Connor, and I would say that I repeatedly have whiplash from the patriarchal pats on the head that we repeatedly get from government in that we're, you know, it was like repeal was one part of this battle. Repeal was one battle won in the war for reproductive justice for women and pregnant people in Ireland. But it's like the bar is set so low for women in this country, and the abortion legislation doesn't work. There's a whole area in this country that still lacks provision, and we have a misogynistic 3-day wait that is medically unnecessary. Like over and over and over again, it's almost like we have to fight and prove our needs. And it's absolutely terrible. And the feeling that I get and the feeling that a lot of people get, and this isn't just people who are actively involved in women's rights issues. These are people who go to mass daily. These are people who pray. You know, this isn't a binary issue. This isn't an issue from the past. You know, the fact of the matter is that, yes, there's history of institutional abuse, there's history of clerical abuse, but the trauma of that is very much a contemporary trauma. I myself was born on the Navan Road in Pelletstown in a mother and baby home. And, you know, I've witnessed that trauma. I've seen how it impacts families. And I think what's really, really important in the context of what's happened this week in Roe versus Wade, and it is really, really important that we look to the States, but it's also really, really important that we look closer to home and that we look to, you know, and before the Ukrainian war, before the Russian war against Ukraine, we had Poland restricting reproductive rights in a massive way, going backwards and backwards and backwards. We see the same thing happening with the rise of the right in Hungary. We have so many places across Europe that don't have access to abortion, like Malta.
If I could flag that just for listeners, Human Rights Watch came up with, we're out this morning showing Ukrainian women seeking reproductive health care in Poland being denied it, coming from, you know, possibly, we can only suggest, some really awful situations that they've maybe endured, because we know it's been documented that rape has been used as a weapon of war in Ukraine. And you know, this is happening in Poland. It's playing out because of restrictions there. And yeah, I think it's important that, you know, we look at that in the fullness, because Roe versus Wade was 1973. So they waited a long time to catch this car. You know, they've chased it for decades. And, you know, this is a 299-year lease. A lot can change in that time.
And it's really important, if I could come in on that. So, again, looking at, you're saying 299 years. Right now, in the present time, what we need to do is safeguard our rights, because they haven't stopped chasing the car since the 70s, right? They've been running after it, okay? And we've seen that. And this is, you know, what's happening in the States is, you know, the culmination of, you know, people working behind the scenes since the 70s. We are always, always going to have to be very, very vigilant about our rights. Repeal was one part of it. We have a lot to continue to fight for. And we need to ensure that there isn't even a sniff of an association with nuns or the church or anything like that. We need to make sure that what the deal that we have, we need a public and secular maternity hospital to ensure that any time in the future, there is never a chance, that we're going to roll back on our rights, because we know that, like, Ireland is the same as everywhere across the world. There are so many people that will be very keen to roll back on our rights immediately and for the foreseeable. And we are not going back.
Look, can I just make one point that, again, we mentioned, we need to talk about the future, all that happened in the past. I think the latest figures show that there's 2,811 children in homeless emergency accommodation. So don't tell me that that we're not continuing to institutionalize women and children in this country, particularly single parents. So I just, it's a drum I keep beating. But every month I see it, it drives me spare. Karen, if I can come to you, you were, as I said, we spoke to you a few weeks ago coming up to the repeal review. And I think you were worn out then at that stage as well from talking about the safe access zones. We talk about campaign fatigue, but I think Joanne has outlined very, very clearly what we need. But the political will, I mean, outside of, I believe, three Green members currently, doesn't seem to be there. How is the campaign going to actually change their minds on this? Or are we dangerously looking at another situation whereby they said, we won't seal the mother and baby records after the server crashed with all these emails. And then they said, well, we'll do it in a different way.
I am coming with a fairly big head of exhaustion, just like absolutely every single woman in the entire country. And I am angry, Tony, and I'm also very, very frightened. And I think it is a narrative of fear that we need to talk about in light of Roe versus Wade. But I just want to say, you started by saying that everybody is being told by Minister Donnelly that this is a done deal. So I want to start by saying how unspeakably disrespectful I find that, unspeakably disrespectful to the women of Ireland, to the women parliamentarians who are fighting tooth and nail for months and years to get this debated. We have the best women parliamentarians in the country, the best legal experts, medical experts, corporate law experts, canon law experts, all of them, every one of them, saying that there are questions to be asked. And Minister Donnelly is going on record and saying that this is only smoke and mirrors, it's all done, and we're only, we're waiting for things to die down. Well, I feel very disrespected. And I do want to address the thing that I believe was raised last night about not looking into the past. And again, I feel enormously disrespected. With my psychotherapy hat on, I want to say that trauma does not go away. And what we are looking at here is the cumulative trauma of 100 years of rape, harassment, abuse, murder, incarceration and distrust. But the second thing I would say about behavior with my psychotherapy hat on is that past behavior is the single best predictor of future behavior. So don't tell us that we cannot look to past behavior to predict what's going to happen now. And finally, if we are going to look to current behavior, because don't forget, Tony, we are being asked to trust. This is an issue of trust and, ironically, faith. We are being asked to have faith in Minister Donnelly. So let's just look at his current behavior so that we can judge whether we can have faith in his future behavior to safeguard our health and our lives and that of the people we love. Let's just look at what he has done over the last few years. So, first of all, we currently have 9 maternity hospitals in Ireland refusing to provide legal abortion care, 9 under Minister Donnelly's administration. We have 90% of GPs unable to provide abortion care because they are fearing harassment by the protesters that Minister Donnelly consistently says are not there. We have the HSE on record, because we've got the FOIs, telling Donnelly and his administration that they know that they will not be able to provide abortion services because of the protests. And yet this year in 2022, Minister Donnelly has gone to the UN and said, we don't need to legislate for safe access zones because there are no protests happening in Ireland. And finally, let me say, under Minister Donnelly's administration, we are birthing alone. We are getting traumatic and devastating news alone because we are not allowed to bring in our partners. We go in to get that news. We go in to give birth past the protesters that Minister Donnelly tells us aren't there. And Minister Donnelly says he can't do anything about this because the individual maternity hospitals are making up their own rules. And finally, the individual maternity hospitals who are making up their own rules under this current regime are refusing to log any complaints made by anybody except the traumatized people going in to give birth. Now, nobody going in to give birth is going to have the headspace to go and make a complaints process. Asking them to do that or expecting it, I'm sorry, is a state-sanctioned violence. Now, we are in the realm of asking the women of Ireland to trust Minister Donnelly to keep us safe when there is no evidence that he will. We are being told that by simply asking questions, we are spreading misinformation. This is not good enough, Tony. And yes, I am angry, but I am upset and mostly I am terrified.
Follow that, Bernie.
Well, I can't disagree with anything Karen has said. Minister Donnelly has accused us of misinformation. He has said we are malicious for raising questions. Does he believe that Professor Madden is malicious? Does he believe that a professor of law is deliberately spreading misinformation to derail his project, his pet project? This seems to me to be a project in which Minister Donnelly doesn't actually believe, but he wants to get it across the line because he has failed in everything else he has tried to do since the day he took over as health minister, and his job runs out in December. He may not stand again. If he does, he's unlikely to have an easy time getting re-elected. This seems like very much a solo ego trip for Minister Donnelly, backed by Micheál Martin, who for some reason seems to be willing to sacrifice whatever respect he gained for bringing in a smoking ban that undoubtedly saved lives and changing his mind on abortion rights, seeking votes for a yes campaign, which has saved lives. Now he's prepared to sign the whole lot over to the Sisters of Charity to do with as they will. I'm afraid not. It doesn't wash for me. Joanne speaks about institutional abuse. And we know that the share transfer, the agreement for share transfer that the Sisters of Charity signed when they transferred their shares into St. Vincent's Holdings is conditional on all present and past members of the religious Sisters of Charity being indemnified for God knows what. There's no detail of what that indemnity covers. We certainly should know about that. But we're not allowed to ask about that because that's malicious and misleading. There's so much in this that's misleading, but the noise is coming from inside the house. It's not coming from us. The misleading information is coming from a campaign to hand over a 1 billion euro plus, and 1 billion is the current estimate. You know, we're talking children's hospital here because this thing won't be built for years to come. We could be talking multiple billions. We're talking a campaign to hand that over into the control of a company which is the Catholic successor of the Religious Sisters of Charity with an identical set of core values to those espoused by Mother Mary Aikenhead.
I put this question to all three of you, maybe even Joanne, if you want to comment, but it's the idea now as of making the hard choice now of saying we will CPO this, or you release the land, you know, you sign the land over to the state, and they're saying, well, you know, this could delay things, this nonsense of the it could delay things. Yes, it actually could delay a process that's going to be delayed anyway, because it's Ireland, that's how we do things. But it also then, as it gives those safeguards, Joanne, that you were talking about a few minutes ago, that we can actually put in place now, rather than because we will end up in a situation sometime. Maybe I won't be around to see it, but it could be in 10 years, it could be in 5 years, it could be in 30 years, where somebody decides, well, actually, within those vagaries, because there's enough legal, you know, what's medically permittable, it's phrases like this are used that can be reinterpreted intentionally. I'll put to you, so how do we get that? How do we break down that jargon and actually say, well, yes, it might delay things now, we accept that, but how do we break down the barriers? But it'll safeguard people for generations.
Yeah, I think that's very important, you know, and I have to say there are two things that you're kind of triggering in my head, and it's this silence and shame that's very often used in Ireland. You know, I was disgusted to hear on a number of platforms yesterday, activists like us, voluntary activists, being shamed for actually, you know, trying to get this right. If it is delayed, it's short-term pain for long-run gain, right? Because we want this to be right. We want to safeguard women's health. And the fact that we're expected to just shut up and not raise any sort of issues, because, you know, this we really need to look after the women. Haven't you seen the state of Holles Street and blah, blah, blah? And we really care about the women that are and pregnant people are going in there. I'm sorry, you know, Vicky Phelan, many other women in this country have suffered, and many of these women will never actually get to use some of these facilities because women's health has been compromised again and again and again and sacrificed by our governments. So the suggestion that we really need to get this done and we really don't want to delay this is a tactic, in my opinion, that's being used to push this deal through. And it's actually a shameful one, because at the end of the day, we have governments who have used austerity measures repeatedly. We can see the cost of living going up for people. We have a war going on. You know, food is going to cost more. Our homes are going to be cold in the coming years, but they expect public money to be spent on a hospital that will never be ours. But the other thing is, again, they should gift this land to the government. Yeah. They owe us, yeah? Like, repeatedly, the government have made requests of the Catholic Church that they should cough up for redress, and this hasn't happened. This hasn't happened. So I think it's shameful that we're expected not to tease this out. I think it's shameful to suggest that we don't care because, you know, we're willing to delay this. You're right, Tony. We don't do things quickly in this country. We really, really don't. And very often we don't do it right. But we need to get this right. Mm-hmm. And we need to ensure that there's absolutely no chance at any stage that there's potential for any of our rights to be rolled back. And this impacts men as well. And people going in, this impacts all of society, all of Irish society, and we can see that.
Well, like if I can appeal, I'll come to you now. I know, but if I could appeal we do have some Gaelers who do listen. Lads, this is also economically incompetent, right? That's also something that is an issue. It makes no sense financially to be doing this. Sorry, Bernie, I know you want to come in, and Karen, I'll come to you straight away after.
Okay, just briefly to say the guilt trip that's been laid upon us for suggesting that we take the time to get this project right is appalling. Dr. Ronan Mahoney talks about women bleeding in corridors. I've given birth in a national maternity hospital. I have bled in those corridors. I almost bled to death in the national maternity hospital. I still think we should get this right. Luckily, I didn't die. But I stood at a vigil in 2012 for a woman who did die, for a circumstance that we were told could not happen. We were told in 1983 that no woman would die as a result of the Eighth Amendment. It was rock solid. It was a cast iron guarantee that it would never happen, but it did happen. And I stood at the vigil for Savita. And I don't want my daughter to stand at a vigil for another woman's dead daughter. I don't want that to happen. And just on a side point, I would mention that there are people in this country today who will pay for this new national maternity hospital, which contains private consulting rooms being built at the public expense. There are people paying for those rooms, which they will never be able to afford treatment in. And that is a scandal, an absolute scandal. It's not enough that there's a question of religious ethos hanging over our hospital. It's not enough that we're giving away a public asset. We are excluding the very people who are paying for it. That's a scandal.
Sorry, Karen, I know you wanted to come in.
Yeah, I guess, you know, to no one's surprise, I'm going to completely agree with everything that Joanne and Bernie just said. But just to say, you know, over the last couple of days, we've seen Minister Donnelly saying that we're spreading misinformation. We've seen Minister Ryan saying that he's happy with the reassurances and can't understand why we would have any problem. And we've on Taoiseach saying it is effectively ownership. However, if it was truly effectively ownership, why on earth would they not just gift it to the state? Why on earth would they go through 9 years of fighting tooth and nail? It wouldn't be worth it. They are keeping it for a reason. As Shane Ross said last night, they are keeping it for a reason. But just to pick up again on the shaming and blaming of women, this is patriarchy 101. And it needs to be named. 3 months ago, we were all up in arms, rightly, about the murder of Aisling Murphy. And we were talking nonstop about the patriarchal culture in Ireland. And we have forgotten that. We have laid that down. We need to pick that back up, because this is what patriarchy looks like. Shaming and blaming of women who are asking questions, running roughshod over women's genuine concerns. How can it be problematic to ask questions? Questions cannot be a source of misinformation. And can I just talk about faith one last time? Because I think we all feel very strongly that we can't possibly have faith in the trio of men who are fronting this, Eamon Ryan, on Taoiseach, and Minister Donnelly. However, I would like to call on, and you said about the cross-party political people who listen to this podcast. And I have had the absolute pleasure and honour of working with a lot of them over the last year. And I know them to be people of enormously good faith and heart and hard work. And we in the public do not see even the smallest fraction of what goes on behind the scenes. But what we do know in the public domain is that there are the most brilliant political women at the moment in Ireland talking about this and asking questions. We know Nessa Horrigan, Ivana Bacic, Roisin Shortall, Catherine Murphy, Breed Smith, Mary Lou MacDonald, Annie Hoey, the brilliant Catherine Connolly. We are the Alice Mary Higgins and Regina Doherty, who is the leader of Shannon Aaron, are all asking these same questions. These are not niche questions. These are the questions that are being asked by every single political woman in the entire country. And of course, Dr. Peter Boylan, who I am claiming for ourselves as a political woman, and I hope you won't mind me saying that. But we have to listen to these, because these are the people that we need to have faith in, because mm-hmm. their track record allows us to have faith in what they're saying.
Ernie.
Could I just butt in for a moment there to say that on the 31st of March, we sat in the Dáil Chamber while the minister gave a statement on the National Maternity Hospital, at which the brilliant Catherine Connolly distinguished herself by actually reading him his rights. But while several brilliant women spoke on the opposition benches, not one single woman even showed up on the government benches. It looked like a college of cardinals. There wasn't a single woman to be seen there. That is a scandal. That is a shame. Where are they?
I would be terrified even with the imagery you've just pulls to mind. It is terrifying. Just to bring this to a close, I know
you're holding a rally on, I think it's May the 14th. Is that correct, Joanne?
Yeah. So, Tony, we're hoping to see everybody at Dáil Éireann on May 14th. That's Saturday, May 14th. For a rally, and we're calling for a public and secular National Maternity Hospital at the Dáil, and the rally kicks off at 2 p.m. So Saturday, May 14th, 2 p.m. at Leinster House. The place to be protesting if you're not happy about things.
Absolutely. And yeah, no, folks, it is time to get feet on the street. There's no two ways about it. Liking and retweeting, that's all well and good. Sending them an email that can itch a little bit. Phoning them gets them annoyed, mm-hmm. but seeing people out on the streets, that can make the change. So you're right, mm-hmm. and despite the noise that this is done, it's not done, and we can't accept that. We just simply can't accept that. And you know what? Thank you so much for talking to me, ladies, this morning. Bernie, Joanne, and Karen again. It's great.
Thank you, Johnny.
And I hope people will support this and get out. And I want to see as many of you there. I'll be there, but don't worry about that.
And I forgive you for calling me a lady.
Oh yeah, well, my mother would tell me I have to. So you know, listen, folks, we're back on Sunday with more coverage, and we're going to hopefully be speaking to Maram Hamad in Gaza as well, which seems to be the escalation that we were all fearing may have actually passed. So maybe there's some good news in the end of a grim week. Hopefully there is. Talk to you all very very soon. Take care.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Tony.
Tony and Martin, Martin and Tony, speaking to interesting people only. It's the Echo Chamber podcast. Subscribe now on Patreon.